It's Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. New staff for the city's Economic Development Corporation, New Yorkers mourn the death of a service worker from Queens, and a conversation about the United States' legal authority over the Israeli Prime Minister. That's What's What Today. I'm your host, Sonia Wellwood-Agoda. The New York City Economic Development Corporation has a new president and board chair. WFUV's Ann Jackson has more.
City-run grocery stores, small businesses, and even ferry boats are all supported by the Economic Development Corporation. It's a nonprofit that manages the city's assets and supports small businesses to strengthen the local economy. And now, they have brand new leadership. Today, Mayor Zoran Mamdani announced Tony Shores as the new president of the corporation and Lena Khan as the new board chair.
Brings me great pleasure to say that today's appointees not only share a vision for the future of this office, but a commitment to executing on it.
Shores served as first deputy mayor under former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Khan worked as chair of the Federal Trade Commission under the Biden administration. Supporting Mamdani's push for city-run grocery stores in each borough is one of Shores' top priorities as president. He also thinks this improves the EDC's partnership with the city.
So I think the breadth of support for the particular agenda is there. But I do think the support for the city's success is even broader, if not universal.
Although Khan and Shores come from different backgrounds in city and federal government, Mayor Mamdani says their commitment to supporting New Yorkers aligns.
I'm confident that in both of their appointments, what we're going to see is not only shared alignment, but also the execution of a vision that will have real tangible results for New Yorkers.
The EDC is responsible for more than 100 active projects, according to their website. You can learn more about the organization and the mission at edc.nyc. I'm Ann Jackson, WFUV News.
New Yorkers are mourning the death of a service member from Queens who is believed to have been killed in the Iran War. WFUV's Lainey Nguyen has more.
Governor Kathy Hochul has released a statement mourning the loss of 28-year-old Sergeant Angel Rompersad and calling to honor her. Rompersad is believed to have been the third member killed in an Iranian attack on a base in Jordan last week. The Pentagon says the incident is under investigation. 18 U.S. service members have been killed since the war began. This comes as the U.S. continues to bomb Iran for the 11th straight night. I'm Lainey Nguyen, WFUV News.
Could the federal government arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani says they should. WFUV's Sienna Reinders spoke to a foreign and political science professor about whether the U.S. could arrest Netanyahu.
The International Criminal Court, or ICC, is a court that applies international laws to individuals. But it can only uphold these laws in countries that are members of the ICC. In 2024, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for alleged war crimes committed in Palestine. Now, Israel is not a member of the ICC, but because Netanyahu's alleged war crimes were committed in Palestine, which is a member state, the ICC has legal authority over his actions. The United States is also not a member of the ICC. Even so, New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani is calling upon the federal government to arrest Netanyahu if he comes to the U.S. I spoke with Fordham political science professor Anjali Dayal to ask about what authority the U.S. has to uphold the arrest warrant.
Donald Trump said that if Netanyahu does come to the U.S., that he would not arrest him. Does the U.S. have the legal authority and obligation to arrest him?
So international law, in a lot of ways, reflects power. And all international legal obligations are voluntarily adopted. When you sign on to the International Criminal Court, you basically make a gentleman's agreement under international law that you will uphold its terms. The U.S. government does not have that voluntarily legally adopted obligation. Nothing is stopping the U.S. federal government, if it wants to, from deciding that it does want to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he shows up in the United States. The question of whether or not they would reflects politics and power rather than any kind of meaningful automaticity. In this case, we are most likely to see someone execute an arrest warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu when it becomes politically important for them to do so. Whether that's something that comes from within the Israeli government, right, because of changing dynamics domestically, whether that's something that comes from another state party to the ICC, whether that comes from shifting domestic politics within the United States that lead the US to, I don't know, ratify the Rome Statute and join the ICC or something else, that's harder to say, I think.
And do you have any insight into what that political importance might look like if it came to that?
I think what we're seeing now with the conversation around whether or not Meir Mamdani could have had Prime Minister Netanyahu arrested, right, is some effort, I think, to figure out what the political shape of possibility is for accountability for crimes against Gazans, right? For accountability for crimes undertaken in the course of this war since 2023. The Trump administration has made it very clear that they do not recognize the legitimacy of the International Criminal Court's actions. Those things mean that we're not likely to see that happen anytime soon. It's not the case that the way politics looks now is the way it's going to look forever. That could mean that, I don't know, maybe he tires of having an alliance with the Israeli government. It could mean the case that the next US administration believes that a clean break with the policies of the Trump administration is important enough that joining the ICC or complying with its arrest warrants is a way of demonstrating good faith in the international system after significant breaks with its past treaties. All of those would constitute, I think, meaningful changes in the political shape of the world and what it would mean for whether or not that arrest warrant could be executed.
Thank you so much. You've provided a lot of great and very clear explanations. I really appreciate how clear they've been as well. That's all the questions I have, but is
Course.
there anything else that you'd like to add?
Some of what Meir Mamdani did yesterday when he released a video saying that Benjamin Netanyahu was a war criminal who was not welcome in New York, but he had determined that New York City did not have the authority to arrest him. Some of what he's doing in that video is trying to basically set the horizon for what the international politics of this should look like, right? And basically, putting down a line that says, I recognize the legitimacy of this arrest warrant, even if I am not legally empowered to act in favor of it. And in a world where the actual sort of shape of international law is a little bit gray, setting that horizon line sets a really interesting precedent that other cities, states, municipalities may or may not want to follow.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being able to speak with me.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
That was WFUV's Sienna Rinder speaking with Fordham political science professor Anjali Dayal. And that's our show for today. You can find more stories online at WFUVnews.org and on Instagram and TikTok at WFUVnews. Please follow and rate us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. If you have a tip or a question for us, send us a DM or email at newsroom@wfuv.org. I'm your host and producer, Sonia Welawudagoda. Our reporters today are Ann Jackson, Lainey Nguyen, and Sienna Reinders. Tess Novotny is our editor.